Faster.
Pa 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 ba da ba pa pa da da da. Jayo Radha Madhava. Kunda Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava. Girivaradare Gopijana Balava Girivaradare Yashoda Nandana Prajadana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajadana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Granthara Śrīmā Bhāgavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandī.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth canto. We are reading the first chapter, the history of life of the life of Ajamil. And today we are going to read the third section of verses from 11 to 14. So we have the 11 here, text 11. Sri Badara Yaniruvacha Karmana Karmani Raho Nahi Atyantika Isyate Avidvad Adhikaritvat Prayaschitam Vimarshanam Karmana karma niraho niraro nahi atyantika ishate avidvat adhikaritvat prayaschitam vimarshanam karmana karma niraro nahi atyantika ishate Avidvat adhikaritvat Prayaschitam vimarshanam Karmana karmani raro Nayatyantika ishyate Avidvat adhikaritvat Prayaschitam vimarshanam. Karmana karmani raro. Nahyatyantika ishyate. Avidvadavikaritvat. Prayaschitam vimarshanam. Karmana karmani raro Nayatyantika ishyate Avidvat adhikaritvat Prayaschitam vimarshanam
What is this?
Karmana karmani raro Nayayatin kasyate Nijadin karitva Nayaschitam vimarshanam
Okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Siva Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
We are going to read all the verses at once. So, Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vedavyasa, answered, My dear king, since acts means the naturalized impious action are also fruitive, they will not release one from the tendency to act fruitively. Persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulation of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Unless one is freed from the mode of ignorance, trying to contract one action through another is useless because this will not uproot one's desires. Thus, even though one may superficially seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purport. The Guru, Sukadeva Goswami, has examined Parikshit Maharaj, and it appears that the king has passed one phase of the examination by rejecting the process of atonement because it involves fruitive activities. Now Sukadeva Goswami is suggesting the platform of speculative knowledge. Progressing from Karma Kanda to Jnana Kanda, he is proposing prayaschitam vimarshanam. Real atonement is full knowledge. Vimarshana refers to the cultivation of speculative knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, karmis, who are lacking in knowledge, are compared to asses. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Namam duskritino mudaha prapadyante naradamaha Mayaya Parityayana Ashurambhavam Ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Those karmis who engage in sinful acts and who do not know the true objective of life are called mudas, asas. Vimarsana, however, is also explained in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, where Krishna says, Vedascha sarvairaham eva vedyo. The purpose of Vedic study is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one studies Vedanta, but merely advances somewhat in speculative knowledge and does not understand the Supreme Lord, one remains the same muda. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, one attains real knowledge when he understands Krishna and surrenders unto him. Bahunam jammanam ante jnanavam mam prapadyante. To become learned and free from material contamination, therefore, one should try to understand Krishna, for thus one is immediately liberated from all pious and impious activities and their reactions. Text number 12. My dear King, if a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured, and the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses toward liberation from material contamination. Purport. One is gradually purified if one cultivates knowledge, even through mental speculation, and strictly follows the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras, as explained in the next verse. Therefore, the platform of jnana, speculative knowledge, is better than the platform of karma, fruitive action. There is every chance of falling from the platform of karma to hellish conditions, but on the platform of jnana, one is saved from hellish life, although one is still not completely free from infection. The difficulty is that on the platform of jnana, one thinks that he is being liberated and has become Narayan or Bhagavan. This is another phase of ignorance. And this is a verse. Ye nye ravindaksha vimukta maninas twai ashtavavat avishuddha buddhayaha arurya krit Chrena parampadam tata patanti ado nadrita yusmat angrayaha. Because of ignorance, one speculatively thinks himself liberated from material contamination, and although actually he is not. Therefore, even if one rises to Brahma Jnana, understanding of Brahman, one nevertheless falls down because of the taking shelter, of not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Nonetheless, jnanis at least know what is sinful and what is pious, and they very cautiously act according to the injunction of the Shastras. And finally, text 13 and 14. Are you right? Yes? To concentrate the mind, one must observe a life of celibacy and not fall down. One must undergo the austerity of voluntarily giving up the sense enjoyment. One must then control the mind and the senses, give charity, be truthful, clean, and non-violent, follow the regulative principles, and regularly chant the holy name of the Lord. Thus, a sober and faithful person who knows the religious principle is temporarily purified of all sins performed with his body, words, and mind. These sins are like the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree. which may be burned by the fire, although their roots remain to grow again at the first opportunity. Purport. Tapa is explained in the Smriti Shastra as follows. Manasas chendriyanam cha aikogriyam param tapaha. Complete control of the mind and senses under complete concentration on one kind of activity is called tapa. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people how to concentrate the mind on devotional service. This is first class tapa. Brahmacharya, the life of celibacy, has 8 aspects. One should not think of woman, speak about sex life daily with a woman, look lustfully at a woman, intimately with woman, or decide to engage in sexual intercourse. Nor should one endeavor for sex life or engage in sex life. One should not even think of woman or look at them, to say nothing of talking with them. This is called first class brahmachari. If a brahmachari or sannyasi talks with a woman in a secluded place, naturally there will be a possibility of sex life without anyone's knowledge. Therefore, a complete brahmachari practices just the opposite. If one is a perfect brahmachari, he can very easily control the mind and senses, give charity, speak truthfully, and so forth. To begin, however, one must control the tongue and the process of eating. In the Bhakti Marga, the path of devotional service, one must strictly follow the regulative principles by first controlling the tongue. Sevon mukhe hi jivado swayam eva spurati adaha. The tongue, jiva, can be controlled if one chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, does not speak of any subjects other than those concerning Krishna, and does not taste anything not offered to Krishna. If one can control the tongue in this way, brahmacharya and other purifying processes will automatically follow. It will be explained in the next verse that the path of devotional service is completely perfect and is therefore superior to the path of fruitive activities and the path of knowledge. Quoting from the Vedas, Srila Virargava Acharya explains that austerity involves observing fast as fully as possible. Tapasana shakena. Srila Rupa Goswami has also advised that atyahara, too much eating, is an impediment to advancement in spiritual life. Also in Bhagavad Gita, 6.17, Krishna says, Yuktara viharasya yukta chetasya karmasu yukta supnavodasya yogo vavati dukkaha. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. In text 14, the word dhira means those who are undisturbed under all circumstances. It's very significant. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matras parshash tu kaunteya, shitoshna shukha dukadaha, agamapai no nityas tam titikshasva bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. In material life, there are many disturbances, adhyatmika, adhidaivika, and adhibautika. One who has learned to tolerate these disturbances under all circumstances is called dhira. Om agyanati mirandasya yananjana shalakaya chakshuru militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha.
Vancha kalpatarubhyas cha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna devotees, good morning. Welcome to this Srimad-Bhagavatam class. As we heard in previous classes, with the other sections, that is, the section in which Maharaj Pariksit expressed gratefulness and his compassion on the souls suffering in hell. The next one, Sukadeva Goswami offers solution based on Karma Kandya, atonement to test Pariksit's intelligence. And now the other section, Pariksit Maharaj rejects the process of atonement. And finally, this section, Sukadeva Goswami offers solution based on Jnana Kanda process. The whole purpose of Sukadeva Goswami in this case, in these explanations, the main purpose is to establish bhakti as superior to another process. And as we hear in the first section, this is the section of the Paradukaduki quality of Maharaj Pariksit, asking what is the destiny of these people, no, who go to hell and different things, how they can sell or be released of these reactions. So Sukadeva Goswami start to answer, but not like a passive answer. Okay, I'm going to answer your question and nothing more else. Just in an active way, in order to make Maharaj Pariksit think in these topics. Now it's more, I don't know how do you say in English this, didactical, like a very interesting way to learn. No? How do you call this? You don't use this word. When you have a professor and dynamic, all right, dynamics, better, good. You have a professor in high school or in university and it's not dynamic, you are like sleeping. But if it's dynamic, you have this case of Sukadeva Goswami answering Maharaj Pariksit. So the first answer is Karmakanda process. And the significant word here to understand this is atonement, as we hear from Acharya Nishtha, I think yesterday. I couldn't hear the class. I'm sorry, but I know that you are talking about this. So atonement, right? You talk about atonement. And Karmakanda, especially Karmakanda, is a good process to overcome these sinful reactions, but it's not perfect, as Sukadeva Goswami explains, because you have the tendency, in Karma Kanda or platform, you have the tendency to be attached to the fruitive activities, you know, the result of your actions. So for that reason, it's not a good process to follow. Especially because Prabhupada explained that it's like an elephant taking a bath, no? Taking bath. But I want to give a more practical example in order to refresh or remind us the importance of cleanliness. Yes. That, for example, if we take a shower, I am going to give an example of Ramachari Ashram in general. If we take a shower, you put a tilak, you put new clothes and fresh clothes, and then you go and you enter in the bathroom again, but without proper shoes, no, well, with your socks or with your feet, no. And after that, you don't you make your necessities on the toilet, and you go out the bathroom without clean your feet, and you enter in the temple room with that socks or with that feet, no, without clean. So
is mushy behavior, no? But sometimes we are very busy, so we are not thinking in this thing, in these important things. But it's like the karmakanda process. Or if you are going to cook for the devotees or for the deity, if you are going to enter in this kitchen, of course, if you are washing pots, it's not necessary. But if you are going to cut vegetables even, it's important to have a clean clothes and take a bath and different things. Otherwise, it's like the elephant case. No? So the karmakanda process is not complete. And the tendency, or we keep this tendency to commit sinful actions in the core of our heart. It's not a complete process to clean our hearts. So for that reason, Sugata Goswami explained the next process, which is called Jnana Kanda. In this process, Srila Prabhupada explained that the atonement is more complete because we use our intelligence in this case. What it means, this use our intelligence in this? We have the understanding that knowledge means light or enlightenment. And the opposite of this is darkness, as Prabhupada explained here. So in the Karmakandiya process, we find this reality that we are ignorant about what is sinful and what is not sinful, which is the opposite in the Jnanakanda process. I want to share with you this experience because I live this. I couldn't take birth in the family devotees. I took birth in the pariah devotees, pariah persons, no? Like my father, eats meat and different things. So my childhood, or my body childhood, was made of meat. You understand? I eat meat and all my body was made of meat. But my parents, especially my father, my mother was vegetarian. My father was a religious man. But a religious man, you have different categories of religious men. So my father was a religious man, but he eats every weekend a barbecue. So the thing is that we go to the church, we went to the church, or we used to go to the church every Sunday after eat meat, no? And we confess with the Father, Father, please forgive me for all these sinful activities that I commit. And we like practice the ceremonies in the Catholic Church. And after that we return, and our dinner, guess what? Our dinner was meat. Not the same meat that we offer we serve in the lunch. So that was my life in the childhood, after meet the devotees. No, I suppose that now my body doesn't have any remnants of meat, because after 7 years to be like vegetarian, all your cells in your body change, right? So I'm more like a little bit more pure, grossly speaking. So this is the problem. In the Karmakanda platform, you are a very religious person, but you don't know what is sinful and what is not sinful. When you confess, please Father forgive for all my sinful activities, you are ignore that eat meat is a sinful activity. You know? You never mention, please Father forgive me because I eat a cow today, so you never mention this because you ignore. Really, you ignore. When you are practicing that kind of religion, you ignore. Maybe the intelligent person not, but the common people ignore that this is a sinful activity. So for that reason, you have the next platform, which is called Jnanakanda. Through knowledge, through fully understanding the Vedanta, how Prabhupada explained here, you understand these things. This is sinful, this is not sinful. And it's, therefore, is a more safety platform. But it's not the final platform. No. Whatever knowledge that you acquire, it is in this category of Jnanakanda. We have three categories of knowledge, as Buddhism and Prabhu explained. The first one is to know that we are souls, no, and not these bodies, like Aham Brahmasmi. And the second one is Paramatma. You know that the Lord is situated within our hearts and every atom. And finally, the last category of knowledge is Bhagavan. So this kind of intelligence, this kind of knowledge is the knowledge that releases us from the hellish destination. Release us. But not in a complete way. As Prabhupada explained in the verse. Can you repeat the analogy that Prabhupada mentioned? The bamboo tree. Bamboo tree. Bamboo. Yes.
Light leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree, which may be burned by fire, although their roots remain to grow again at the first opportunity.
Do you have this experience, like gardeners? Have you ever worked in a garden? Yes, cutting plants? This is the reason, because the gardeners have job every season. Because the if you don't extract from the root the plant, the tendency is to grow up again. The plant has this tendency to grow again. So this is the case of karma, of Jnanakanda process. It's better than the Karmakanda process, but it's not a complete process also. The danger here is not to be attached to your of the results of fruited activities. The danger in Jnanakanda process is to be attached to this sense of being like the Lord himself, to misunderstand your position in relationship with Krishna. Knowledge is very, very nice if we use in a proper way, because you start to understand, okay, I am not this body. Okay, Krishna is within my heart. Okay, but maybe I am God. So this is the danger of Jnanakanda process. You start to think that you are Narayan or Bhagavan, as Prabhupada explained here. So this is very important to know. And another obstacle of the Jnanakanda process in order to glorify the Bhakti Yoga process is that all these activities that we have to perform in Jnana are very difficult to practice in this age of Kali. And the main example here is celibacy. No? The majority of people in Western side, the devotees in Western side, we don't have a clean pass. Our history is like full of interesting events. No? So the thing is that if we are practicing brahmacharya nowadays, it's just because the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. But actually this kind of brahmacharya, which is very important to know how is the ideal of brahmacharya, for that reason Prabhupada is establishing here. The ideal brahmacharya is this, no? Tak, 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 tak. Establish. This ideal brahmacharya nowadays is very difficult to practice. Don't you think, isn't it? Oh, we have the example of Parashara Muni. Parashara Muni is meditating under the ocean, and he, for years, And he saw these two fishes engaged in sexual relationships, and that's it. End of the process. Huh? Sobari. Yes. So this is the reality of Yanakanda process. Very hard to perform in this age. You have to go to the forest, practice some austerities, tapa. But fortunately, Prabhupada is establishing here the real meaning of tapasya, which means take shelter in the bona fide devotee, in the bona fide spiritual master. And in order to finish this explanation and give you the opportunity to comment or make questions, I want to share a very nice verse of Light of Bhagavata, as I always like this book, quote this book. And this is the text number 11. You have the opportunity to see the image or the picture. It's like, are like waves, no? And these waves are approaching to the beach, to the coast, to the bank. So, let me read this. Light of Bhagavata. In the rainy season, when the rivers shell and rush to the ocean, and as the wind blows the waves about, the ocean appears to be agitated. Similarly, if a person engaged in the mystic yoga process is not very advanced in a spiritual life, he can be affected by the modes of nature and thus will be agitated by the sex impulse. Purport. A person fixing spiritual knowledge will not be attracted by the allurement of material nature in the form of beautiful woman and the sex pleasure enjoyed in their association. One, however, who is still immature in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge may be attracted any moment by the illusion of temporary happiness, just as the ocean is agitated by the rushing rivers and blowing wind that occur during the rainy season. It is therefore very important to fix oneself at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master who is representative of God, so that one will not be carried away by the sex agitation. So this is the key of our bhakti yoga process. In order to make like give some explanation about the next aspect of these sections. And yes, finally, we can understand this tapasya from the point of view of bhakti yoga, which is more practical and better for us to practice. It's very simple. Just chant Hare Krishna, as Prabhupada say here, chant the holy name of the Lord, take shelter in the spiritual master. And another important thing is be engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. That is the practical principle that we can extract from here. If you are engaged 24 hours a day, you don't have time to think in the opposite sex. If you are a Prabhu, you don't have to think, you have time to think in Mataji. And if you are a Mataji, you don't have too much time to think in Prabhus, right? So this is explained in the Brahmacharya manual of Bhakti Vikas Swami. Now, if you are preaching, if you are doing a lot of activities for the Lord, you don't have this problem. No? Like Sankirtan travel or something like that, or doing a lot of things in the temple, or different kind of preaching activities. So this is the short and explanation that I can give you. And if you have a comment or commentary, it would be interesting to make like contributions to this section.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your class. I have two questions. So my first question is kind of from the point of view of the society. We see here in these verses that Prabhupada is establishing the preeminence of bhakti over karma or jnana kanda processes. We see in our society that if some devotee does something abominable, like, I don't know, something abominable, we can imagine so many things, and usually this devotee is kind of, their position is taken away, or his service is taken away, or they're kind of removed from the association of devotees. So they're denied the very process that will purify them, which is the sadhu sangha. Think about it practically, you know, like, for example, in Mahaprabhu's times, in Haridas Thakur, the prostitute who ended up becoming a devotee, if some prostitute came to our temple and became a very, very serious bhaktin, we might still have some difficulty, you know, trying to give her some important position. Oh, what if people find out, you know? Something like that, I'm just thinking. I'm a neophyte, so this is where the mind would go. So I'm just, this is the idea, but then we also have the practical display. How do we match up the two?
We can match both ideas through, I don't know if the proper word is compassion to the other, the victim of this falling or something like that. In the 9:30, then Bhagavad Gita 9, text 30, we have the explanation that we have to consider a devotee who falls down from his position, a saint, a saintly person. And as I explained, it's in this age of Kali, it's very difficult to practice this ideal of brahmacharya, for example, to give an example. But if we take shelter in the spiritual master, as Prabhupada explained here, we can overcome or surpass these obstacles, even if we fall down. This is the proper way to understand this from outside. Now, maybe for the devotee it's different. He has to think in another way or start to practice or reestablish his behavior, something like that. But from the outside, from the point of view of the society, okay, this devotee fall down from his position. This is the way in which we have to think. Okay, he's practicing a very difficult process, and this is not the proper age to practice this process. But he's doing his best. No, he's trying to give his best. I don't know if you have another answer or something like that, but I'm thinking in this way. Yes, please.
We see him before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, there were no institutions by which Krishna consciousness was going on. They were going on autonomously in various areas, and primarily in India. So then when a person fell down, let's say like a leader who was in an exalted position, if he were to fall down from his position, because there weren't a massive society and internet and all that, then and it was happening autonomously, it wouldn't have a huge reaction on the, let's say, society at large necessarily, because the communities were much smaller. And when you're dealing with a worldwide institution, and the vast majority of the people in the institution are neophyte individuals who are going to judge everything on external things alone, Bahir Mukha Jivas, they see only external factors, then although it is true that the process of bhakti purifies anyone from any sort of position, then leaders may have to make that a consideration because they know they're dealing with a massive amount of neophyte individuals who will lose their faith, who will get major doubts if there was no sort of justice sort of thing applied in the society on a worldwide level. So on a leadership level, they might have to make such a consideration, although we would hope that their own thinking is, as Krishna's thinking is about devotees, Api Chesu Dharashro, etc. But in consideration of trying to maintain a worldwide society, they may make such a decision as to, I would hope it's not ostracizing devotees, but taking them from certain sorts of positions and so on, so that the people who are on neophyte level won't just leave the institution thinking that these people allow anything to go on and so on. So I can see how that could be a consideration for such individuals. And it is not that such individuals who struggle in bhakti are denied the very process by which they can be purified. The very process is chanting Hare Krishna and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So no one's denied that. Although it will be sad to see a society of devotees kind of ostracize someone because of their difficulty. I know that goes on a lot, and it's heartbreaking to hear about, and probably more so to experience, but they're not denied the process by which they can be purified. And they might just have to find a society of devotees who are a little bit more broad-minded, immature, who will allow them to participate in the hearing and chanting. You know, it might be actually to their great benefit that they've been taken away from all sorts of positions and so on, which can also be an encumbrance to focus on the actual process of Krishna consciousness. It might just be their lucky day, in fact, that Krishna has made such an arrangement by which they can just take shelter of the holy name and hear, and then find a society of devotees who are a little bit broad-minded. So I think both points can be harmonized. Is that they're denied the process, that's not a fact. And the other reality is that on a leadership level, they might have to make such considerations, because this is the first time we've ever had to deal with a worldwide institution and trying to help individuals advance on a worldwide level and so on. And so although I don't always agree with certain things and so on, I'm just saying I can see why such a consideration may be there in light of the situation that we're in the modern time.
Yes. Well, we always must to reestablish the bhakti yoga process. They has like superiority of bhakti yoga process despite of all kind of events that maybe may happen. No, the bhakti yoga is always the process. No? And I'm thinking the example of the medic at the hospital. In the hospital, you have people with diseases, and you are the medic, and you are living with these people, healed people. And of course, you have the danger of the risk to be contaminated also for these diseases. And yes, we have all in this position. Gokulananda, you want to say something? And anyone else? I don't know who is. Ah, yes, your second question. You have your second question.
Just to add a little bit more. I just want to add that a devotee who is practicing devotional service, he doesn't fall down from bhakti, but he falls down from the varna or ashram, especially varna, from the social consideration, he falls down. For example, a sannyasi, he's supposed to behave in a certain way. So if he commits a mistake, he is removed from his position as a sannyas in the social aspect. But he is still, like Jaya was saying, he's not denied to practice bhakti. So he can continue with bhakti and even with more focus. And also Krishna, the relationship of Krishna and his devotees is not hampered. Only if the devotee takes another process or have a mistake in his start confusing his philosophy due to maybe to sinful activities, then his understanding of Krishna consciousness becomes, as a reaction, may start thinking something wrong about the philosophy, like Srila Prabhupada. He was very tolerant. He used to tolerate sometimes fall downs from devotees and bring them back to Krishna, to the shelter of the Sadhu Sangha, of the devotees. But there are cases in which Srila Prabhupada ostracized devotees from the association because of their misconceptions in the philosophy, for Mayavada philosophy that was filtering in there, and they were propagating Mayavada philosophy, and Prabhupada became very upset. And I think these are the things that upset Krishna also, because Krishna called mudas, those people who deny his personal form, etc. So I just wanted to add that. The devotee just, it may fall down from a social point of view, but not from his determination of practicing bhakti.
Yes, in the mission of Prabhupada, we are taking the plunge of be fall down of our social position every day, no? In the sense of that, if you are engaged in preaching activities, we have the practical example of Sankirtan, no? You are doing Sankirtan in summertime, and very nice person, no? You are talking with a very nice person, like opposite sex, no? And yes, but you are trying to spread Krishna consciousness through books, and your social position is always in danger. But the main idea of spread Krishna consciousness to serve, in order to serve spiritual master, is more deep than that. Yes, thanks for the contributions. The second question, yes. And we can finish with this question.
If anybody else has a question, because I already asked one. If yes.
Okay, two more questions.
I just had a question. You mentioned like doing devotional activities in a muchi condition compared to like karmakanda. And I was just...
No, I never said that making devotional activities are compared with...
No, you used an analogy that it's like karmakanda. It's not complete.
Yes, yes.
I was just wanting to explore that analogy a little bit more. But the activities of devotional service would be considered so powerful, even if there's some shortcoming or some incident. I was just wondering if it could actually be likened to, analogous to karmakanda, whereas karmakanda is a completely different process.
Yes.
In other words, I had a little issue with that comparison, but I think that's my misunderstanding, maybe. Or maybe someone could clarify.
You don't have to worry about all these kind of regulations if you are in the like Babaji platform, for example, no? Because you can perform devotional service without all these kind of regulations and everything. And even Gaur Kishore's Babaji, no. Who used to chant the holy names in the bathroom, public? So it's disgusting, but it's transcendental at the same time. But he was in the platform of Baba, right? But I'm talking in general. The example that I give is in the platform of sadhana, more sadhana. We have to follow some regulative principles and some kind of standards that we follow that standards because the authorities put that kind of standards. So the main idea is follow the authorities' instruction, which finally, follow the authorities' instruction means follow the instruction of the guru. No, so the example of the bathroom that I gave, I mean, it's the general rule here is like, maintain the cleanliness in general. The authorities want that. So I give that example from that platform, but I don't want to say that devotional service is in the same level of karmakanda. No, that is not my objective. I'm just trying to make the comparison in another context, like the elephant bath, and we are like elephants also if we are not consciousness of these things. In another context, okay? Thank you, bro.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice to hear from you. I was just talking about previous karma, or mainly for devotees, that we chose the higher taste. Once we received the higher taste, we chose to practice higher taste, huh? So we should not worry about, you know, past actions. Even in Sri Isha Upanishad, in the prayer verses towards the end, we covered that, you know, Lord, you know all of my past, and forgive me for that. And just like the fire destroys the past reaction. So if we move forward from that, especially devotees, because devotees are trying to become more Krishna conscious. So question does not exist about, you know, past activities. One thing I would like to say is that, like an example, I was just thinking about if a devotee goes away from Krishna consciousness or takes time to start a family or something like that. Like, if there's a pond of fish here and a pond of fish there, and your job is to get the fish from pond A to pond B in a hand and in your handful of water. On the way to pond B, you might, you know, drop that fish. And, I mean, what would you do at that point? You'd have to very quickly pick up the fish and get it to the other side instead of going back and getting a new fish, because the fish that already fell there could perish. So, you know, it's just kind of a practical example that although, you know, divergence or away from Krishna consciousness may happen, but we have to just pick up where we left off and continue forward. We might have to do more seva, but there's always hope in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. The main purpose of this chapter is establish the idea of how it's called in the introduction. It's called Poshana, no? Which means the protection by the Lord. So it's true that the devotee doesn't have to worry, doesn't have to be worried about my past karma and everything, because if we are practicing the bhakti yoga process, we have obtained this poshana quality, that the protection of the Lord. No? Finally.
One thing I just want to add is that, especially for devotees, past karma, although it past karma in the sense of action, whatever that action may have been, it's sort of our expiring of the karma. That's how I see it, because I always try to see things in a positive light. Whatever past activities we've done, that's just sort of like a burning off of the karma. You know, whether it was, you know, consume some vegetarian food or some non-vegetarian food, it's both are doing karma. Krishna Prasad, of course, is the best, but it just doesn't even bring up a question in my mind.
Thank you, bro. Any other comment or question? All right. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai.